If you want to go ahead and find 2 Timothy chapter 3, mark that place. Then Romans chapter 1, mark that place. And then we'll begin reading in 1 Thessalonians 5. So as you're turning, I know I'm giving you three different passages here, and I'll give you a moment to find those. 2 Timothy 3, if you'll mark that. Romans 1, mark that. And then turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I want to try to preach along the lines that we've been singing about this morning. If the Lord will help me this morning, I want to preach on the sin of thanklessness. The sin of thanklessness, or ingratitude, if you will. We are living in possibly the most ungrateful nation and the most ungrateful time that humanity has ever known. The things that our grandfathers and their generation were thankful for, we, for some reason, seem to think are not sufficient for us. And they were glad for a biscuit and some gravy. And today we're not thankful usually for just about anything that we receive. But I want to say I thank God for all of His manifold blessings upon me. 2 Timothy 3, Romans 1, if you'll mark those two, and then stand with us as we read 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and I want to read one verse there. Then we're going to go to these other passages that I have voiced to you the references of this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now turn to where you have marked in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Your marked place at Romans chapter 1. Verses 21 and 22 I want to read. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 21 said, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Now the place where you have marked in 1 Timothy, or rather 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Familiar scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. There is a clear connection between these three passages in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, to give thanks for all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will that you be thankful. It's God's will that you be grateful for the blessings of the Lord on your life. He gave then as one of the marks of an evil, perverse, corrupt, and reprobate generation, the sin of thanklessness or ingratitude in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 that we read. And then in 2 Timothy 3 and 2, he stated that in the last days, men would be, among other things, unthankful and unholy. And I'm interested in that. Now listen, he says here that the men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I don't think that these two are put back to back by chance or by happenstance. Nothing in the Bible is that way. You see, there is a connection in our text in Romans and in 2 Timothy between the sin of thanklessness and a life that is altogether unpleasing to the Lord. When people become unthankful, they'll soon become unholy. When a man becomes unthankful or ungrateful or thankless, he will soon become unholy. They forget where their blessings come from and soon get to the place where they think they can make it on their own, make life on their own. They become wise in their own eyes. God says,
said of the Israelites in Isaiah 1 and 3, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib. But my people doth not know. Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. This tales of their faithlessness. And then the very next verse, God said that they were a sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. A children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. I challenge you anywhere in God's Bible to find a people who are unthankful and not unholy. Amen. When men become unthankful, they soon become unholy. I believe the primary sin that has caused the backslidden condition of people in America is the sin of thanklessness. We have become unthankful. Therefore, we have become unholy. Don't forget this morning, it was the woman who remembered all her sins that Jesus washed away. It came back to him and washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And she had not become unthankful. Therefore, she had not become unholy. It was Mary Magdalene out of whom Christ cast seven devils that stayed last at the tomb of our Lord and showed up first on resurrection day because she was thankful. It was one Samaritan leper who returned though 10 were healed. It was one Samaritan leper who returned to give thanks unto our Lord because he remembered what the Lord had done for him. I tell you, when we get unthankful, we'll become unholy. We'll drift far from God. I mean, friend, if you quit sitting at his feet in thanksgiving and in praise and glorifying God for what he's done for you, as soon you'll become quite unholy. You'll drift far from the Lord. Your life will get far from God. Oh, my friend, the man who liked the fruit of the knowledge of Christ, according to 2 Peter 1 and 9, is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was perished from his own sins. The man, my friend, the Bible said, that did not have the fruit of the knowledge of Christ had forgotten that he'd been purged. Had not considered the blessings of God. Had not considered all that the Lord had done for him. In other words, he became unthankful and therefore he became unholy. Oh, the sin of thanklessness. People who are not thankful will never serve with the same fervor as those who remember where they were when God found them, saved them, and changed them for time and eternity. We're living in a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their number, their mother. They're righteous in their own eyes, and they're thankful to no one for anything. And we're living in a generation that's become unthankful because of it. They become unholy. Amen. That's right. The sin of thanklessness. I would say amongst church folks, this is probably the greatest crying out loud sin that we have against God. Is this sin of ingratitude. This sin of thanklessness. Too often, my friend, we are thankless people. We're thankless toward our companion. Proverbs 18 and 22 says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I'm telling you, you ought to be thankful toward our companion. Amen. I thank God for the Lord has sent me a Christian wife that loves me and loves my youngins and tries to teach them the things of God. However, I thank God for her. When's the last time, Daddy, when Mama fixed a fine meal, you said thank you? You always flirt with a waitress down at the restaurant. Why don't you tell Mama how good her cooking is? Amen. That's right. Oh, sure, it's right. I mean, we're too often thankless when it comes to our companion. Mama, when's the last time you told Dad what a good provider he was? How much you appreciate him working hard? When's the last time you bragged on what a good father that he was to your children? We're living in a thankless generation. Oh, God, forgive us for our sin of thankfulness. thanklessness. We're thankless toward our companion. We're thankless toward our children. Listen, children must see, receive discipline at home. I believe that. But the same Bible that says and that teaches us about not sparing the rod also says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. It's just as important, Dad and Mom, for you to brag on your children. Thank them when they do right. Brag on them when they do well. Tell them how much you appreciate their efforts when they're trying to do good things. That's every bit as important as a spankings and correcting is when they do wrong. Amen. Sometimes we have a tendency with our children, as long as they're doing well, we say nothing. And when they do wrong, then we let into them. How we jump down their throat with both feet. But I'm going to tell you, the same Bible that teaches us to discipline those wrong deeds, that teaches us to promote those right things. And we ought to thank our children when they do right, when they act right, and when they take the right steps. I'm glad my little girls pray. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so glad for my, even my little one that can't talk. When it comes time for bedtime and comes time for prayer, she'll crawl up on the bed and wave to me and grab my hands and make me put my hands on both sides of her hands to put them together to pray. I'm so thankful for that. I thank God for children that have a desire for the things of God. I always try to brag on the little girl when she stands in the choir and sings, God is so good to me. I'm going to tell you, friend, I want her to know that Daddy appreciates when you live for God and do what's right. We're living in a generation of thankless Christians. We're thankless too often towards our very own families. Our companion, our children, I want to say too often we're thankless when it comes to our church. Amen. I mean, so much for take we take so much. We take for granted the things that happen around this church. As some of you that's been around here for a long time have just come to the place where you think that every church is like this. That everywhere they testify. That everywhere they sing good old gospel songs and the hymns of the faith. And everywhere people raise their hands, have the liberty to shout and come to the altar and pray. That you haven't been some of the places I've been. You haven't preached revival in some of the freezers that I've been in. Amen, that's right. You haven't been some of the places where nobody shakes your hand and nobody testifies and nobody sings. The choir director and the pianist sing a solo through the congregational hymns while folks lean on the pews and stir off into eternity. I'm going to tell you, friend, meeting is dead, it's 4 o'clock and you don't know how to appreciate what you have around here. I thank God for a church. I praise His name for a church where we can worship and pray, where we can glorify God, where I see hands raised. I hear the amens of the congregation. I can hear the preaching of the Word of God in paradigms of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a church with a King James Bible and Psalms of Zion and a red book hymnal and no words on the wall. Hey, thank God for a church where they don't have hippies with 16 earrings in their ears and a studs to their snout and their eyebrows. Singing in the quartet. Hallelujah for a church where our youngins can fall under Holy Ghost conviction and get saved by the word and grace of God. Thank God for a church where when you have a hard time and sicknesses on your life and troubles in your home, they lift you up in prayer and see God's face for you and pat you on the back and let you know that they're praying for your soul. Hallelujah! For an old-fashioned Bible believer, a church where we can worship God. Amen. Thank God for a church. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for church? When was the last time you thanked the church for what they are? I'm not being critical, but I'm just going to make a statement this morning. I used to hear a lot around here, folks are standing up and saying, thank God for church. And thank you for being the people you are. But Brother Eddie, it's been a little while since I've heard a testimony like that. Amen. You know what's happened to us, don't you? We've become accustomed to it. We think things is always going to be this way. And some of you that's here this morning came from churches where it used to be this way, and now it ain't this way. And you ought to know from experience that it don't always have to be like it is. Amen. Oh, this church is not perfect. Oh, no. Chances are, if you've looked for fault this morning, you've already found some. And if you want to start looking, you won't have to look no further behind the pulpit in order to find some. Amen. But I thank God for a church where we try to do what's right and where we preach the word of God. I thank God for a church from a preacher's perspective. I thank God for a church where I got liberty to preach. Where every time I start to skin and sin a little bit and hit the devil in the head, I don't have somebody come by the door all mad and purple-lipped and all upset about what's going on in the meeting. Amen. Thank God for a church that loves the preaching of the word of God and loves God. Hallelujah for a place where the people of God can worship. Amen. When's the last time you told them around you that you love them, that you appreciate them? Amen. What an encouragement somebody was to you. When's the last time you gone to Brother John and said, Brother John, you don't know what a blessing that Sunday school lesson was to me. And you told me just exactly what I needed this morning. When's the last time you grabbed some of these piano players and song singers of some kind and choir singers and such and hugged the neck and said, I want to tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing for the glory of God. I thank you so much for what you do. It makes the meeting sound so good and go so well. I thank God for that. Listen, I thank God for everybody that's sings in the choir. Everybody that sings in the choir. I thank God for everybody that plays these instruments and sings solos and worships God. I thank God for everybody that testifies in the good Holy Ghost. I thank God for all these men that stands and preaches from time to time. I'm going to tell you, we're a privileged people today. We're a privileged people to be in an old-fashioned church where the Spirit of God's real. I thank God for church. I thank you for the church, for what you are and what He's given us. Hallelujah for the place where God put His people. The sin of thanklessness. So often we're so unthankful. So unthankful, so unthankful. So thankless toward our companion, our children, our church. So often and more than anything, we're unthankful to when it comes to Christ. I mean, Ephesians 1 and 3 said, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I mean, everything you need is found in Him. And so often we let time go by and days pass us by that we don't pray, that we just kneel down so many times and give Him our wish list. And it's just gimme, 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 gimme. The old saying goes, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy, and I'll take all you gimme. And that's where most of us are in our prayer lives. Just always asking for everything. But when's the last time you came before the Lord and you said, God, I don't want to ask for anything. I don't want to ask you to give me anything. All I want to do is just tell you that I love you. And I'll thank you for all you've already done. And I want to praise your high and holy name for your many blessings on me. Oh, thank God. It's a sin against God, this sin of thanklessness. We're commanded in His Word to give thanks to Him in all things. Colossians 3 and 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Ephesians 5 and 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you four things we ought to thank Him for. I'm going to run through them quickly and we'll go to the house. I want to say, first of all, we ought to thank Him for the body's strength. We ought to thank Him for the body's strength. Amen. If you have good health this morning, you ought to give God thanks because it comes from Him. Brother Jeff could tell you a little bit about that this morning. He could tell you what a privilege it is to have good health and how quickly it seems like you can go from strong enough to pull a tree out of the ground to your health beginning to crumble and beginning to get weak. I'm telling you, if you can eat, drink, talk, and do these things, you've got strength and health, and you ought to thank God for it. Amen. That's right. I mean, thank Him for the body's strength. You ought to thank Him for the strength to labor. That good job you have, that good job that you treasure, it's a blessing from God. Without God's strength on your life, without God giving you the body strength, you'd have not that good job. You'd have not the chance to labor. You'd have not the chance to earn a living. And thank God for the body's strength this morning. Amen. Oh, preacher, I work. I take care of my family. I'm so sick of people with eye disease. Amen. You couldn't do nothing if God didn't allow you, strengthen you, help you. That strength you've got in your body to labor is from the Lord. As so many have strength to labor and they're too lazy to do it. Amen. Others don't have strength to labor, but they try their best. I want to tell you some friend, if you have the strength to labor, you ought to praise His name for that. And you ought to work. Amen. Able-bodied men that won't work ought not to get to eat. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank God for your body's strength. Strength to labor. I thank God for giving me strength to love. Amen. I mean, if you have the mental capacity to experience love for others and know their love for you, it's because of the Lord. Hey, furthermore, any physical capacity you have to demonstrate your love to those you care for so deeply is a blessing of God as well. Other night we was leaving out from this little place we went to up in North Carolina while we was on vacation, and the little girl always wants my wife to tote her everywhere she goes, and every time I try to tote her she cries for mama, but mama's not strong enough to tote her everywhere. She's done got too big. I'm weighing on 30, 35 pounds. And that's a heavy sack of taters I have a mile uphill. And the time come around, and finally mama just couldn't tote her no further. I grabbed hold of her and she cried. But I told her anyhow. And got near the top of the hill, she quit crying by then. And by making it all the way to the top of the hill, my arm was sore. And my feet and my legs and back was tired. Well, but I'm a 10-year-old, it's a joy to me. And to have the strength in my body, and to show my love for those I care about. I remember coming out of Disney World last year, and little Gracie said, "Daddy, my feet sure is tired, and I just don't know how much further I can walk." We went back, we stayed all morning, then went back at 9 o'clock and stayed till 2 in the morning. I don't know why she was so tired, and it was only 100 degrees, and 99% humidity. I mean, I don't know why she's so tired. Oh, but I picked her up and put her on my shoulders and carried her about a mile and a half all the way from the place we come in, across my friend down that tram, and all the way back to the bus. And my shoulders is tired, my back is tired, but I'm so glad God gave me strength to do for the people that I love. You mamas that's able to cook and clean and iron your husband's shirts and pants and dress the young
sins. Instead of complaining about it all the time, why don't you say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I've got strength to care for my family and to do for them. Instead of you getting up dead and saying, oh, God, I've got to go back to work again. Why don't you say, thank you, Lord, for the body strength to labor for my family and to love them and to demonstrate my love for them. I mean, why don't you quit being so thankless and thank God for all that He's given you in this life?
The sin of thanklessness. If you have the strength of the body to labor and to love, if you have the strength of the body to learn, you ought to be thankful. If you have the capacity to hear, see, speak, feel, think, it is the blessings of the Lord. Many are those that would give anything to be able to hear what you hear, see what you see, have the wit that you have to understand and to feel and to experience things in life. And yet those that are so blessed with the senses of this world have squandered them on the things of wickedness and use our ability to hear to listen to things of the devil, our ability to see and to look at that which is evil, our ability to sense and feel. I tell you, my friend, for the devil's good. I mean, friends, you ought to give thanks for your body's strength, that you have the capacity to feel and to learn, to hear and to understand. I mean, you're blessed today if you have strength in your body. You ought to thank Him for the body strength. My strength is mighty low, preacher. I'm not as strong as what I used to be. I'm not young as what I used to be. I don't reckon nobody's young as what they used to be. Last I checked, they don't have a reverse on it. Only options you got is get old and get dead. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we all in that same boat together. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're able to do anything, it is the blessings of God. Why don't you concentrate more on what God lets you do than on the things you can't do. Amen. And then you'd have a much more pleasant life in this world. Amen. You ought to thank Him for the body strength. I want to say, secondly, you ought to thank Him for the blessings of salvation. You ought to thank Him for the blessings of salvation. I mean, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Hallelujah. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Oh, the old song said, as my tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Praise His high and holy name. I'm so thankful that I'm saved. Listen to me. I'm not proud I'm saved. I didn't do nothing to get saved. I can't get proud of it. But I sure am thankful I'm saved. I sure am glad I'm saved. I sure am grateful I'm saved. I mean, when I was on my way to hell at a breakneck speed, the great God of the glory world reached out and changed my life. And I'm so thankful I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so grateful I'm saved. I want to thank Him for the blessings of salvation. We don't rejoice because the demons are scared of us. He said, rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Woo! If your name's written down in the glory world, you've got a King James Bible base right to throw your hands up and shout the glories of God that you're saved, 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 saved. And not a thing in the world the devil can do about it. Not a thing in the world the doubters can do about it. Not a thing in the world can do about it. I'm so glad I'm saved by His marvelous grace. Birthed in His blessed family. Thank God for salvation upon my life. Amen. I began thinking about the blessings of salvation. There's three words that came to my mind. And I've shared these with you before, and I want to do it again this morning real fast. There's three words came to my mind. The words mercy, grace, and love. Amen. Well, praise His name. Now, mercy,
A lot of times we try to use these three words interchangeably, but they don't mean the same thing. Now, mercy means not getting what you deserve. If we got what we deserve, Brother Clifford, we'd already be in hell with our necks broke. Amen. Amen. One preacher said it this way. Said he'd be in hell with his back broke. I'm living next door to you. Amen. If we all got what we deserved. But when Frank called mercy said that he's not giving us what we deserve. We're breathing another breath of life. Have the blessings of this world. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we didn't get what we deserved. He granted us mercy.
Now, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace is what you get what you do not deserve.
Is that the same thing? No, it's not the same thing. I mean, mercy is God withholding judgment. Grace is God pouring bountiful blessings on your life. Woo! Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Grace is you getting what you do not deserve. You do not deserve a good church. You do not deserve a copy of the Word of God. You do not deserve, my friend, an indwelling of the Holy Ghost. These things are the grace of God. It's by grace you're saved through faith, not of works, as any man should boast. It's God's gift. It's God's work. It's not our work. It's by His grace, not by my works, that I'm in this church. Amen. Bless His name. And so mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Grace is you getting what you do not deserve. And then love is God giving you what only Christ Jesus deserves. I mean, He's the only one deserves the love and the favor of the Father. He's the only one deserves a home in heaven. He's the only one deserves my friend, a crown on his head, a white robe on his back, a shoes upon his feet, a mansion in glory. Yet because of God's love, those things have been put on the title deed of the child of God. Woo! Bless His high and holy name. He's given us mercy, grace, and love. And we ought to thank Him for what He's done.
The blessings of salvation, we ought to thank Him for the body strength. The blessings of salvation, thoroughly ought to thank Him for the benefit of the Spirit of God. The Bible said that Jesus told His apostles, it'll be good for you to go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, the Comforter will come. He'll teach you in all the ways of truth and right. Amen. Boy, I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I'm having to walk. Seem like a mighty lonely road. I'm so glad we've got somebody with us. Amen. I'm so glad we're walking with Him. Hand in hand with Jesus. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. I'm so glad I'm saved, and as such have the Spirit dwelling in me. And not only will He give me the Spirit, but He'll give me the fullness of the Spirit. I praise His name for that. The Bible says the Spirit of God is a guide. He teaches us and leads us along in shady green pastures, so rich and so free. God leads His dear children along. And the song said, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. The first place the Spirit of God led me was to the fountain of blood that flows from Emmanuel's chain. He showed me how to be saved and helped me in His family. Woo! Bless the name of the Lord. And He's been a guiding me and teaching me and has shown me the right way to go ever since that day. So the Bible says He's a guide. The Bible says He's a comfort. He's a comfort. Jesus said, if I go not away, the Comforter won't come. Little boy's mom was sick one day, sent him to church without her. And he come home, she asked him, said, son, what did the preacher preach on today? He said he preached on how God's going to send us all a blanket. And she never did understand what he was talking about.
Next week she got there and heard all the people talking at church about a wonderful message the preacher preached on how the Lord's going to send another comforter. Amen. Well, praise His name. He is a blanket to us when we're cold. Amen. He's a comfort to us when we're weak, when our hearts are broken, when we're in grief, when we're hurting, when we're lonely, when we're sad. I'm telling you, He's a comfort to my heart. Brother Matthew said, nice kind words. At times in my heart was broken. As some of you patted me on the back, but it just didn't seem to do any good. But there's been some days I've got along with God, and He's wrapped His arms around me, and He's comforted me, and He's helped me, and He spoke to my soul, and He whispered sweet peace to me. I thank God. It's a comfort to know that I know Jesus.
I'll say the Bible says as a God, He's a comfort, He's a strength. When you just don't have the fortitude to make it alone, I'm glad you don't have to. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm so glad there's something that abides in me. The sweet Holy Ghost. The indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the benefit of the Spirit. I'm going to close with this. We ought to thank Him for the body's strength, the blessings of salvation, the benefit of the Spirit. We ought to thank Him for brotherhood with the Savior. The Bible says we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Now think about that a minute. You're in heaven already with Him and He's down here with you at the same time. I don't understand that, preacher. I don't understand all of it, but I sure have enjoyed it. I'm telling you, He's in you, and you're in Him. How about that? That's brotherhood. You see, if a man's going to have friends, the Bible said he must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's the Lord Jesus. And God Himself is our Father, and Jesus is our brother. We are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, as subject to the very best heavens got. We're brothers with the Lord Jesus. Hey, thank God. We're not natural brothers. I mean, I wasn't born of a miracle. I'm a virgin birth, and neither were you. And sin did my mother conceive me, according to the Scriptures. I have a sin in nature, but I've been grafted in. I'm now a part of God's family through repentance and faith. We're like the little boy who took his had a daddy took him to the amusement park. The fair, and he bought a roll of tickets that big. And that lasted about 5 minutes in Pigeon Forge. He bought a roll of tickets about that big. Then boy would take him tickets one or two, three at a time and ride to different rides he wanted to ride. If he run out of tickets in his pocket, he'd walk back to his dad, stick his hand out, and the dad would put tickets in his hand. He'd go ride whatever else he wanted to ride. Just a little bit come by, there's a little boy come by the man had never seen before in his life. And stuck his hand out for some tickets. And he's kind of like some of these kids does me before they go to Sunday school. They want me to give all of them a quarter. I run out. And stuck his hand out for some tickets. The man said, no, son, you don't understand. Said, these tickets, I bought these tickets for my boy. These tickets are not meant for you. They're meant for my boy. And I don't know who you are. About that time, his boy come walking along. Put his arm around that little boy's shoulder and said, that's all right, Dad. He's my friend. Just give him anything he wants. I'm going to tell you, in our lives, that's the way we were. We're strangers, foreigners from the covenant of God. We didn't know the Lord. We wouldn't have recognized Him in a one-man lineup with a name tag on. Amen. I mean, we did not know God. But thank God for the blessed day when the Lord grafted me in His family and His Son put His arm around me and said, Daddy, give Him everything He needs and everything He wants. He's my brother, He's my friend. And thank God I've been living in the favor of the great God of the glory world ever since that blessed night when He introduced me to the Father as His forgiven friend. brotherhood with the Savior. And because of it, thank God, there's some blessings in my life and yours. It'd be a sin, a crying out loud sin against God, not to give thanks for the blessings of salvation, for the benefit of the Spirit, for the brotherhood of the Savior. Because we're His brother, we have a Father that we share. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, we may be called the sons of God. And beloved, we are now the sons of God. Now it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know what He shall appear. We shall be like unto Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're sons of God, the Bible says. We have a Father because we have brotherhood with the Savior. We have forgiveness. God, according to Ephesians 4 and 32, God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The sweetest words I ever heard my daddy used to sing is, I forgive. We have a place in the family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Been washed in His fountain, cleansed by His blood. I'm so glad I'm a part of that. In the family, I want to say we have a place in the fellowship. Fellowship with God, fellowship with the brethren, fellowship with the Spirit of God. I'm so glad we have a place forever. I want to say I'm glad I have a place forever. Time cannot mine away what the Lord has put in my part, my heart. I'm His and He's mine forever. Bless His high and holy name. Well, I'm done preaching. Would you stand? You come with a song. We're so thankless. We're so ungrateful. We so often fail to thank Him and thank others He's put in our path to sweeten our days. If you've understood your sin of thanklessness today and you do nothing about it, not only then will you be unthankful, but you'll become unholy. Why don't you take some time to give thanks to God first? To God first. Then we don't want to be in a hurry this morning. We're going to take some time to give some thanks to one another. Really, there's not much excuse in anybody with a soft heart not need to do business with the Lord this morning. So I'm going to give the meeting to you. You need to come pray, you come.